The final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said that Allah azza wa jalla sends 10 mercies upon whoever sends salat upon me once. And when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the salat is presented to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the name of that person and the name of the father of that person is presented in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you think about it, nowadays in the modern world, we like to have our name presented, you know, in front of famous people. You know, that famous person knows about me, that famous person knows about me, that famous person knows me, that famous person knows me. He knows my name. You know, we're proud of the fact that a famous person knows my name. And by sending salat upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we have the opportunity of not only having our name, but our father's name presented in the court of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So please make it part of your daily routine to send durud-e pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our lives, we have many times where we are waiting for things to happen, waiting for a customer, waiting for a job, waiting for a books, whatever it is we're waiting, this waiting time should never be wasted. And one of the best ways of utilizing that time is sending durud-e pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sallu alal habib ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A renowned sheikh in the Qadriya Razviya spiritual chain, Abu Qasim Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah ta'ala, he said that there was once a night and I was extremely restless. I busied myself in worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, and yet I was not destined to find peace in this at that time. As much as I tried to focus on my acts of worship with khushu and khudu, I could not find that peace and tranquility. He said that then began to read the Quran, and yet again I could not focus for some reason, and I was not destined to receive peace from it at that time. I was extremely confused as to why I could not concentrate on my worship, and why my heart was not finding the serenity it normally does from these actions. Before I go on with this story, just want to stop here. The real goal in life, if you ask yourself, what is your real goal in life? People want to be rich, people want to have power, people want to have status, people want to have all these things. But if you ask all of them people, when they've got that, there's one thing that they haven't got and they're always striving for. And people think that if I have money, I will have it. If I have wealth, I will have it. If I have power, I will have it. And that is peace. Peace and tranquility. No matter how much money you have got, if you've not got that peace and tranquility in your heart, you've not achieved it. And in this dunya, this is what we're striving for. And some people think that I'll get it through having money, I'll get it through having property, I'll get it through having power, I'll get it through this, I'll get it through that. But ultimately, we need to find out how to get this. And the people of the past, they would get that peace and tranquility in worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla. They would get that peace and tranquility in reading the Quran. Anyway, carrying on. He said that he didn't get peace and tranquility through reading the Quran, which normally he did. And he said, before morning arrived, he said, I wrapped my shawl around my shoulders and I left home. I walked a wall and I came across a man who was also wrapped in a shawl. As I approached him, he raised his head and he said to me, why are you so worried? Has the day of judgment come? And Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullah replied that, has it at the appointed time come? Is it the right time? And the man said, no. I'm simply asking if you were worriedly searching for the peace of your heart desires. Because you've got that, he could see on his face that he didn't have that peace and tranquility. He was asking him, is it because the day of judgment has come? Is it because, and what is the reason? And he said that I have left my home in search of peace of my heart. Yet I also want to know the reason behind me feeling so restless tonight. But for now, tell me, is there anything that you need? And that person, he said to him, yes, Abu Qasim, there is. Please explain to me. Is there a situation in which an illness itself becomes a cure? Junaid Baghdadi, he replied, yes. There is one situation in which it happens. And that person said, I began to listen to him carefully. And he said, listen to me carefully. When you fight against the desires presented to you by your nafs, every disease of the heart will be taken away. And the very same illness that once plagued it will also become a cure. The man heard this and he let out a sigh. He said, I've received this answer 7 times tonight, but I wanted to hear it from you. By the grace of Allah Azza wa Jalla, this wish was fulfilled, and I have now received from you an answer to my question. After this, the man left, and I never saw him again. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of my channel, Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah ta'ala, he gave the man an excellent remedy for the inward spiritual diseases of the heart. If you fight against your desires, this will dispel all of these diseases, and they in themselves will become a cure for you instead. We also learn that falling into self-indulgence, following one's desires and fulfilling the wishes of the nafs are in fact a dangerous thing. They lead to the heart becoming packed with the filth left behind after the sin. And we need to say to ourselves, why is it that good words don't have an effect on us? Why is it that our hearts are not inclined to worship? Why is it when someone says, read your salah, we're not bothered, we're not interested in it? Why when we read the Quran, we think it's a burden? Why is it when the month of Ramadan comes, we feel that that is a burden? Why are we feeling all these things as being hardship for us? In fact, they are a blessing for us, but it is our nafs that's telling us, Ramadan's hard. Oof, 18 hours, 19 hours, I can't do that. Reading the Quran, I haven't got time to read the Quran. You've got time to go on your social media for 2 hours, but you haven't got time for 12 minutes to read the Quran. And this is our nafs that's telling us this. This inside ourselves, we don't want to do that. We're not inclined towards this. And we need to ask ourselves why. Why is it I can go on my phone for 2 hours on social media and it's a blink of an eye, it's gone. But when I'm reading the Quran, I'm thinking, I've read it for 5 minutes. I've read it for 8 minutes. I've read it for 12 minutes. You know, I'm thinking, that's too much. 12 minutes is enough. Less enough now. And even then, we don't even open the Quran because we find it so hard to open the Quran. Why have we not got that in ourselves? Because our nafs doesn't want us to do this. Our nafs doesn't want to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. Our nafs doesn't want to read the Quran. Our nafs doesn't want to perform good deeds. Our nafs wants us to commit sins. Our nafs wants to listen to those things that we shouldn't be listening to. Our nafs wants us to see those things that we shouldn't be looking at. Our nafs doesn't want to commit any good deeds, but in fact it wants to commit sins. And that is where we ourselves need to have that personal battle and control our nafs, control our desires. Following one's desires means to act out of every wish of the nafs. Whatever your nafs wants, you follow it. And without even thinking whether it's good for you or bad for you. But in following these desires, in nearly all of those cases that these desires that we have inside us, the outcomes are bad for us. There's no benefit in following this. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, three things will lead you to ruin. Three things will lead you to ruining. Number one, remaining lost in greed. Number two, fulfilling the desires of the nafs. And number three, a person being prideful over himself, being proud of himself. Thinking, I'm it, I've done everything, I know who I am. Who are you to talk to me like this? This will be your ruin. Remaining lost in greed, and greed that we always want more. We want more and more and more and never enough. You know, the richest person in the world, they say that he's still not happy. He wants more. And someone beautifully once said to me that the richest person in the world, who is the richest person in the world? The richest person in the world is he who is happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him. He is the richest person in the world. Otherwise, no matter what you've got, you may be a millionaire, you want to have 2 million. You may have 2 million, you want to have 5 million. No matter how much you've got, you always want more. And you always feel that you never look to those people that have got less than you. Oh, well, he's got a bigger house than me. He's got a bigger car than me. He's got this, he's got that, he's that. And that's what you look towards. And so you feel that you've not achieved anything because you want that, you want that, you want that. The person who's happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given him, he is the richest person in the world. Our desires, they never come to an end. Like I said, when you've got one house, you want two. When you've got two houses, you want three. People are buying plots abroad now. People are buying houses abroad now. People are buying cars and this and that, and they want more and more and more. And our desires never end. They never end. Very rarely do you get a business and he says, you know what? I've got one shop. I'm happy. You know, he's got an opportunity to expand, to open two shops. No. I'm happy with my one shop. Very, very rarely. No, I'll open two. No, I'll open three. No, I'll open four. He can only eat the same roti every day. He can only eat three roti in the day. But no, he wants more shops and more businesses and more money. And it never ending. I recently met a person. I think he was 85. He was a builder. 85-year-old builder. And he said to me, I bought this plot of land. Right? I'm going to build houses on it. I'm going to build 8 houses on it, and this will cost me this much, this will cost me, and I'll make this much. I'm thinking, he's 85 years of age, and yet he's still wanting more and more and more money. And yet I knew he was living comfortably. It wasn't as if he was starving. He had everything, but no. He had this mission in his head, I'm going to build 12 houses, I'll make this profit. And he's telling me all these figures, and I'm thinking, I'm looking and I'm thinking, what is this? When does this greed ever finish? When are we going to say that we've made enough money? When is this going to happen? No, the only time it will happen is when you're happy with whatever Allah has given you. Otherwise, no matter what you have got, you'll always want more. And also what happens is when you want more, then you start looking to others who have got more, and you start thinking, why has he got this? Why has he got that? Why not me? And this why, as I said before, this why can lead you to kufr. Because now you're questioning what Allah has given you. You should be happy with whatever Allah has given you. Following one desires, Allah condemns it in the Quran. Allah says, so after them, in their place came those unworthy successors who missed the salah and pursued their lusts. So therefore, soon encountered the jungle of ghair in hell. This is a dreadful valley in the hellfire. Writing in commentary of this verse, Imam Jalaluddin Suyuti, al-Shafi'i rahmatullah, narrates the following incident, in which the companion Uqba bin Amir radiallahu anhu said, he said that I heard the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say that soon the people of the book and the people of Laban from my ummah will be destroyed. I asked, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who are the people of the book? He replied, those who learn the book in order to argue and dispute with believers. I then said, O Messenger of Allah, who are the people of Laban? I further asked, to which he explained, those who follow desires and they waste their salah. Those who follow desires and those who waste their salah. And if we ask ourselves now, we make up so many excuses. I haven't got time to read my namaz. I've got to do this job. I've got to do that job. I've got to do this job. Again, these are excuses of our nafs telling you that you haven't got 10 minutes to read your salah. You haven't got 12 minutes to read your salah. You've got an hour for social media. You've got an hour for watching a drama. You've got an hour to go to the gym. You've got an hour to play football. You've got an hour for visiting family and friends. You've got an hour to go out and eat with people. But you haven't got 10 minutes for your salah. Ask yourself, who are you lying to? Who are you lying to? You're lying to yourself. You're making these excuses to yourself by lying to yourself that I haven't got time. You know, the one thing that we all have got is time. No matter how rich you are, no matter how poor you are, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how weak you are, you all have 24 hours in a day. Why is it that some people can manage the time and they can afford to read 5 salah a day? Are they dying of hunger, those people that read the salah 5 times a day? Are they walking, living on the streets because they're reading the salah 5 times a day because they're not earning enough money? No, this is not the case. Remember this, your risk is written for you. Your risk is written for you. Your end is not written for you. How you will die? What state will you die? Will you die with your iman? Are we worried about this? Because we should be. You know, if you are destined to become a millionaire, you will become a millionaire. If it is in your destiny, you will become a millionaire. The question is whether you become a millionaire through halal means or through haram means. And if you're not destined to become a millionaire, no matter what you do, halal or haram, you won't become a millionaire. So don't run after risk. Run after the akhirat. And one of the ways of following the akhirat is controlling your desires. So that I don't have this, I don't have this, I don't have this. Ibn Ashaq radiallahu anhu reports, Allah Azza wa Jalla sent a revelation to Prophet Dawud al-Islam declaring, the heart connected with worldly desires is indeed distant from me. If you're running after worldly desires, then you're going further and further and further away from your Creator. Allah Azza wa Jalla also states in the Quran, and Allah wants to direct His mercy towards you. And those who chase after their own pleasures, they desire that you be remotely separated from the straight path. Allah Azza wa Jalla has condemned those who follow their desires, and a valley of hell called Ghair awaits them. We discuss, we say here, Allah Azza wa Jalla also condemned hypocrites and explained how they followed the desires until they fell into disgrace. The state of the Muslims today, unfortunately, is that we have also fallen prey to our desires. We are also listening to the whispers of shaitan. And we think that whatever these shaitanic whispers are, they are true. And shaitan will convince us that, oh, it's okay for you to do this. It's okay for you to do that. It's okay for you to commit that sin. No, that's just for those people that are weak of him. No, that's just for those people. Who are you to say this? Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us The Quran and the Sharia and the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that Sharia is for then, it is for now, it is for tomorrow, and it'll be there until the Day of Judgment. And inshallah, it won't change. It'll never change, and nobody can change it. So we should not think to ourselves that I know better. Nobody knows better. Again, these are again shaitanic whispers saying, it's okay. It's okay. It's only a small sin. It's only a small sin. Do you not think that you can be punished for that small sin? You've heard people have told you of these blessings of those pious people, that they entered into paradise because of one, what we think is a small deed. And there are those people that have been thrown into the hellfire for what me and you think is a small sin. So never think of any good deed as being small. Never think of any good deed as being small. You know, they say that smiling is a sadaqah. Smiling is a sadaqah. You may enter paradise just because of your smile. You know, hurting the heart, the feelings of a fellow Muslim is a sin. You might hurt the feelings of one fellow Muslim by not giving him salam properly, and that sin might take you into the hellfire. Who do you know? How do you know? How do we know which good deed will be rewarded? How do we know which sin will we be punished for? We don't know this. So never think of any good deed as being small. And never think of any sin as being small as well. Because whatever sin you are committing, who are you going against? Who are you disobeying? Your Rabb. You're disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. And it is up to Allah Azza wa Jal whether He will hold you accountable for that or not. So we do not know which of our actions. We know what our sins, alhamdulillah, we are gaining that knowledge, and we should continue to gain that knowledge. But we do not know which of our sins we will be severely punished for. And we do not know which of our good deeds have been accepted. You may have done Hajj every year. You may have done Umrah twice a year, but how do you know any of them good deeds have been accepted? So never have this, we said earlier on, those people are ruined who have this pride inside themselves. They think they've got it made, they think they've got all of these things. How do you know whether your good deeds have been accepted? You don't. How do you know whether your Hajj has been accepted? You don't. How do you know that masjid that has been built has been accepted? We don't. Because we do not know the intentions. You know, your intentions will be questioned on that day. You know, when any good deed you do, make sure, I know we're going to go slightly off the topic now, but make sure you do it purely for the pleasure of Allah. Because what happens is, in many cases, we don't. I remember one Friday, so I went to perform the Friday prayers there. And like in many masjids, at the time, just before the namaz stands, the chairman gets up or the secretary gets up and he has a file in front of him and he starts to make announcements. And I don't know whether it was the chairman or the secretary, but anyway, he got up and he started to make announcements. And he said to the people that, as you know, in the last 6 or 7 weeks, we've not made any announcements. And the reason why we've not made any announcements is because the Imam Sahib has said to us that at this time, right at the end, the masjid is full. As you know, many, many people, they turn up late for Salatul Jummah. They don't turn up at the right time, they turn up late. And so the Imam Sahib said, look, that's the time when the masjid is full. That's the time when everybody's there. Give me that time. And I will teach the Muslims something. I will teach them a dua. I'll teach them something about Salah. Just for them 2 moments that I know the masjid is full, I'll teach them something. So the committee thought, fantastic, great idea, yes. The masjid is full. That is the time to teach people. That is the time to inform people. That is the time to educate people. But the chairman of the mosque, he says, but unfortunately, our donations have gone down. So we're going to have to start doing this. And he started reading. And this person's give £10, this person give £20, this person give £50. And I realized then that what had happened is because people, the announcements weren't being made by the chairman or by the secretary, people stopped giving donations. So the question is, why do we donate in the masjid? So that our name will be called out? Why do we donate in the masjid so our name will be on the board and people say, oh, he gave that money. Now, if we donate and yes, our name is mentioned and our intention is so that our name is mentioned so that other people are encouraged to donate, then all well and good. But if we're just doing it so that our name is mentioned, that everybody knows, oh, this person is giving to the masjid. And people say, wow, subhanAllah, what a great person he is. Every week he gives £50, every week he gives £20. Every week his name is mentioned. Then on the Day of Judgment, you ask yourself, will you be rewarded or not? You will be rewarded, you will get what you're intended for. If your intention was to please the people, you'll get that. InshaAllah, if your intention is to please your Rabb, to please your Creator, to please Allah, then inshaAllah you will get this. So this is something that we need to be wary of. And when it comes again to these sort of things, we see that our children nowadays, we teach them everything. We teach them everything, how to live their lives, but we don't teach them the basic teachings of Islam. And so that child, when he goes out, He doesn't know about Islam. He doesn't know what he should or what he should not do. And instead of coming home because he's scared of asking the father, because the father's going to tell him off, why are you asking such a silly question in the house? Are you not ashamed? You shouldn't be asking these sort of questions. They'll go out and they'll find the question from somewhere else. And that won't be the Islamic. So we need to give that tarbiyah to the children. We need to tell them these diseases of the heart, how they can control them, how they can control the nafs. This is what we need to do to them. It is reported by the companion Abdullah radiallahu anhu that the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that paradise is closer to you than your laces are to your shoes. However, hellfire is the same. Yet paradise is covered by difficulties and hellfire by desires and delights. In a similar fashion, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, the wise is he who takes accountability of his nafs and walks for the life that takes place after death. The helpless is he who follows his carnal desires, then thinks wishfully regarding Allah Azza wa Jal in such a person and still hopes that Allah will grant him paradise. You know, a lot of people say, oh, we'll worry about it later. We'll see. Dekha jayegi. You know, we have this mindset, we'll see about it later. When is later? And can you guarantee that you're going to live till later, whenever later is? And what are you going to do later? Are you going to change all of a sudden? People have this mindset that, you know what? I'll live my life, I'll enjoy my life, and when I become 60, 65, 70, then I'll go and sit in the masjid. Yeah? Like all these other babi, I'll go and sit in the masjid when I'm that age. Number one, how do you know you're going to live that life? How do you know you're going to live that long? And if that is true, is every 70-year-old in Rochdale sitting in the masjid? No, they're not. Because many people, even when they're 65, 70 and above, they're still committing desires, following the desires, still committing sins. There is no guarantee just because you've hit that 70 mark, you're going to be attached to the masjid. There is no guarantee of that. So again, don't wait for a good deed. Don't wait for that time. If you want to perform good deeds, do it now. Because you don't know when a later is going to come. You don't know when it's going to come. And you think that you're strong enough to face the angels in the grave. You think you're strong enough to cross the bridge of Sirat. You think you're strong enough to face Allah Azza wa Jalla on the day of judgment. You may be strong here. You may be know it all here. You may have the power and the connections here. You're nothing there. You're nothing there. And so we need to be aware of this. So these are the things that we need to ask ourselves. Where is our, are we following our carnal desires? Are we following our desires of this dunya? Do we even think and contemplate about the akhirat? And I hope that we've all come with the right intention to please our Creator, to remember our Creator, to remember the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Insha'Allah azza wa jal, we will be rewarded as such. Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, rahmatullah ta'ala, narrated, he says, the desires refer to worldly matters for which delight is gained, irrespective of whether Sharia has prohibited them directly or if doing them leads to divine commands, categorically not being implemented. This also includes mustabah, doubtful matters, and every other permissible action which carry fear of leading to haram if carried out. As relayed by the companion, Atiyah bin Sa'ad, radiallahu anhu, the final Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that an individual cannot become pious. He cannot become pious until he leaves lawful actions in order to protect himself from unlawful things. You know, controlling yourself, protecting yourself, staying away from those places that would normally you would say, well, it's okay to go to them places, but if you go to them places, you may indulge in sins. I remember there was a person, again, not very far from here. He used to come home from work, and every day he'd come home from work, he'd get changed, and he'd go and sit, I think it was his second cousins, he'd go and sit there. And one of the Muballiks of Dawud Islam, he said to him, that brother, them cousins of yours, them relatives of yours, they're drug dealers. They take drugs. Yeah, you sitting there, you know, if you're not careful, you'll end up taking drugs. And he said, look, I'm 35 years old. I've got two kids. I'm not stupid. Yeah? And don't lecture me. I said, okay. Now, it's not haram for him to sit there. But what happened is gradually one day he was at work. He had an argument with his boss. He left work, came home. The child had been crying all day. Wife was fed up. She'd had it to here. She wanted him to take the baby and look after her so she can get a bit of peace. He'd had a hard day. He wanted a bit of peace and quiet. They started arguing amongst themselves. He walked to the house, went to his cousin's house. They realized he was a bit tense and they said, here, have one of these. And he said, yeah, go on, give me them. And he took a spliff. And the truth of the matter is that within 2 months, he became a heroin addict. Now, alhamdulillah, that person, I believe now, has recovered from this disease, but it took a long time for the family to help him get off the heroin, get off this addict, stop this thing. It took, I think, years, in fact, for him to do this. So again, How are we protecting ourselves? We need to be careful of where we go. We need to be careful of what we do. We need to be careful of what we see. We need to be careful of who we sit with. I'm going to mention five things which can cause us into falling into these traps of self-indulgence. Number one is rushing to get what you want. Sometimes we see a new phone. Sometimes we see a new iPad. Sometimes we see a new car come out. Sometimes we see, you know, some new type of furniture that's come out, or a new TV that's come out. Oh, there's a really, really thin TV now, and there's a 75-inch TV now, or there's a new phone or a new iPad, a new computer. And what happens? You want it. Now, again, there's no harm in wanting it. There's no harm in desiring a new phone. There's no harm in desiring a new iPad. There's no harm in having the best furniture. It's not haram. But what it is, we need to be very careful, is this desire for wanting something. You know, what happens is sometimes we put the blinkers on. We put the blinkers on and we run after getting that, and we end up committing sins. And it may just be the, well, I'm not going to say just. It may be the sin of just missing a salah. But is a missing a salah is a sin? Because, oh, I need to do a bit of extra overtime because I want to get that new car. I need to give it an extra overtime because I want to do that kitchen extension. I need to do an extra overtime so I want to buy that flat screen TV. And all this extra effort that you're putting into running to do these things, as a result, you're committing sins and you're running after your own desires. So we need to control that. We need to control our desires. Again, be happy with whatever Allah has given you. The other thing what happens is that causes problems for us is when we wastefully spend things. We earn £300-£400, but we're always spending £400-£500. And we're wasting that money. We're going out with our friends, we're having a meal, we're going here, we're going there, and we're short of money. And when you're short of money, your brain starts to think, how can I make a bit more? What can I do? I'm struggling financially. So maybe if I do this, maybe if I do that, maybe if I do that. And what happens? You might start doing sins, committing sins, just to make that extra money. So again, you need to control your expenses. You know, and don't waste that money. To waste money, to do all these things, is a saraf. Even using extra water when you're performing the wuzu is a saraf. This wastage of things. Because you're wasting your money, you're wasting resources, and what happens is, we start running after things. Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi writes in Tafsir Naimi that israf has many layers of detail when it comes to explaining it. What happens is, when you run after things, when you're wasting things, then you think, well, it's okay. It's okay, and all of a sudden, halal things become haram and haram things become halal. Using haram things, eating, drinking, or wearing more than one needs, this is the wastage as well. How many clothes do I need? How many shoes do I need? You know, people have like 12 pairs of shoes. And what happens is you'll wear two pairs and the other one will stay in the cupboard for 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, and then you buy another new, and then you'll open the cupboard. Oh, I've got these shoes. I don't remember these shoes. Oh, I've got these. I don't remember these. Oh, I remember this jacket. And you don't remember these things. So again, this is wastage. And then when we go out and eat, you know, you can only eat this much, but you make sure you get that much because it looks good, because you want a social media pic of the platter that you've just eaten, and you want people to know how much you've just ate. And so you'll order more than you need, and you're wasting that food. That food gets wasted. And nowadays you go to these stores, buy one, get one free offers, and these sort of things, oh, I'll buy one of these and I'll get one of these. And what happens is you end up throwing it in the bin. You're wasting food. Wasting food. We go to the weddings. Yeah, and we take our plate and we'll fill it up right to the top. You know, it'll be overflowing with all the meat and the chicken and everything. We can't eat it all. Well, you know, I think I can eat it all. And then what happens? It all gets wasted. Wastage of food is something that, again, we should not be doing. Eating, drinking, or wearing whatever one's heart desires. Always, I want this, I want this. Eating continuously throughout the day and the night, causing illness and damage in the stomach. Again, this is sraf of wastage. You only need a certain amount. Just because Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you enough money to be able to eat seven times a day, it doesn't mean to say you should eat seven times a day. This again is wastage and it's damage to your health. Eating and drinking harmful things, again, oh, I can afford it, so it's okay. You know, again, look after your health. Always thinking about what to eat, drink, or wear next. I've got this now. I've got a green one now. Now I need a white one. I need one this. I need this. I need this. And you're always thinking about getting your night clothes. Eating for the sake of eating. Eating with the intention of performing a sin. Some people eat so that they can go out and do this sin or commit that sin. Becoming so used to luxurious food and clothing to the extent a person cannot make use of normal things anymore. That you're so used to having luxury that you can't live a normal life as well. So what happens is you actually see people that from the UK, that when they go back to Pakistan or they go back to India, I can't sit here, I can't eat here, I can't sleep here, I can't do this, I can't do that, because you all of a sudden raised your standards that I can't eat this food, I can't eat that food. And again, what is this? What is this? To assume that one has attained high quality food by his personal accomplishments only. that I'm getting this good food because of my hard work. Again, do not be wasteful. Don't waste things. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you, on the day of judgment, you will be questioned about it. That money that Allah gives you, you'll be questioned about it. That health that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you, you'll be questioned about it. That youth that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you, you'll be questioned about it. That time that Allah Azza wa Jalla gives you about it, you'll be questioned about it. And your life, you'll also be questioned about it. Now, I'm not saying you can't eat good food. I'm not saying you can't have a good house, a good car. I'm not saying that. But everything needs to be in limit. How many pairs of shoes do you need? How many clothes do you need? How much food do you need? Needlessly thinking about others. This is another way of self-indulgence. You're thinking, well, he's got that, so I want it. He's got this, I want it. He's got this, I want it. Don't think about what others get. Just think about what you need. Being negligent in regard to rectifying yourself. What happens is we think to ourselves, I don't need to sort myself out, I'm okay. We all need to sort ourselves out. Eating to a full stomach. You know, they say that if you eat to a full stomach and you overeat, then your desires, you start following them desires. You know, they said that when the pious people of the past, you see that they didn't eat a lot because they wanted to spend their strength in worshipping Allah. Did they not need food? Yes, they needed food. They needed food, but they ate enough, not too much. And nowadays, we're starting to commit these sins of overeating and overeating and overeating. So we need to be very wary of these things. We need to control our nafs, control our desires, and make sure that these shaitana whispers don't affect us. We all know as Muslims that it is obligatory upon us to read our salah. The question is why? Why are we not reading our salah 5 times a day? Because these shaitanic whispers are getting to us. Ah, it's okay if you miss one. It's okay if you miss one. I remember there was a child, and I think the parent told me this story. The child was only, I think, 6 or 7. 6 or 7 years old. And the parents started to get the child up for salah. Every day they'd wake them up for fajr. And the child one day said to her mother, that, Ummi, Dad, Allah's not going to punish me for just missing one salah. Yeah? Allah's not going to punish me for just missing one salah. Now, that was only a 7-year-old child. Yeah? And at that age, maybe salah wasn't obligatory upon her. But this mindset is not only just in that child. It's also in our own minds as well. It's only one salah. It's only one fast. It's only one sin. It's only one. It's only one. It's only one. And one becomes two. Two becomes three. Three becomes four. Four becomes five. And four, you know it. So this mindset that has developed inside us, that again, like I mentioned before, then never ever think of a sin as being small. And never ever think of as a good deed as being small. Because you do not know what good deed you'll be rewarded for, and you do not know what sin you're going to be punished for. And I just want to finish with one thing. That whenever you perform a sin, whatever the sin is, people say they enjoy it. I enjoy drinking alcohol. I enjoy smoking, I enjoy committing adultery, I enjoy doing this. And that pleasure that you get, okay, I'll agree with you for a while. Let's say you do get pleasure in committing a sin. Let's say you do enjoy committing that sin. Let's say you do enjoy gambling. Let's say you do enjoy these things, you get a pleasure. How long does the pleasure last? A few moments, a few minutes, half an hour, a couple of hours. How long does the sin last? The sin lasts forever. A good deed, sometimes coming to the masjid in the morning, it's cold, the heat is not working, the boiler is not working in the masjid, the heat is not working, it's cold, it's freezing, you're shivering, it's raining, you're coming to the masjid. That hardship, that pain that you feel, you've got a cold now because you came to the masjid for 2 days. How long does that hardship, that pain stay with you? A few hours? If you get a cold, a few days? How long does the good deed stay with you? Forever. So never commit a sin for the sake of pleasure, because the pleasure will go away and the sin will stay with you forever. Never leave a good deed for the sake of hardship, because that hardship will go away, but that good deed will stay with you ever. My dear Islam brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, may Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the ability to push away the whispers of shaitan. May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the ability to stay in the environment of Dawud Islam so that we can protect our iman and die in such a state, perform such deeds that Allah Azza wa Jalla is pleased with us. Ameen bi jahin nabi ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
Mubarak for you, smile, I pray, may you keep